Well, it is good to see you, and we're glad that you're here. And I appreciate the praise team very much for doing that song. I listened to that song back sometime before Christmas, and I had never heard it before. But when I listened to it and when I heard it, I listened to it probably five or six times back to back, listening to the message of the song. And then I began to read the origin of the song and why it was written and the artist. And he talked about his mother and her grief through the loss of his stepfather, her husband. And through watching his mother grieve in one of her most desperate hours through the very tragic and very sudden loss of her husband, he thought about the words of Job, and literally the verses, the chorus that is sang there, "Though you slay me," is literally a verse of Scripture that Job cried out to the Lord. And he said, "Though you slay me," he said, "I will still praise you." That is the epitome of spiritual wisdom. And today we're going to talk about spiritual wisdom. You know, we've talked about some lessons that Job has taught us about suffering. We've learned a lot about suffering. And today, we're going to talk about the importance of wisdom through the course of our suffering. The book of Job, chapter 28, verse 12. One verse this morning that we're going to read together. Job, chapter 28, verse 12. I'd ask that you please stand with me. He said, we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. If you don't have a copy of His Word this morning, it'll be on the screen for you, as well all of our other Scriptures. But I encourage you this morning, take notes. If you've got a piece of paper, write it down. If you've got a tablet, an iPad, or a phone with an application that allow you to do that, take notes. If you're in the midst of suffering, you can learn today how that wisdom can greatly impact that journey. Maybe you're not suffering now, but as we've learned when we started out this sermon series, after we have suffered, is what the verses of Scripture told us, after we have suffered. So we do know that difficult times are in store for us, and these are the words that can help you in those moments. Job chapter 28, verse 12, here are the words of Job. He says, "But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding?" Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the blessing of today, Lord. We thank You for the rain that we received this morning, and now we thank You for the sunshine. And Lord, Father, I pray that You just bless our services here today. And Lord, how joy it is for me to stand before a beautiful congregation like this, Lord. And Father, I thank You for the growth that we have seen in the last few months. And Lord, I thank You for the visitors that we have today. Lord, Father, I just pray that this sermon series continues to bless hearts. And Lord, I pray that it continues to speak boldly and loudly, not just to myself, but to others. Lord, I know that people have been impacted by the preaching of Your Word just in the last month. And Lord, Father, I pray that more will be impacted. Lord, I pray earnestly, Father, that those who are suffering will receive comfort from Your Word. And Lord, I pray likewise for those who may not yet be in a season of suffering, that they can take these messages and instill it within a special place in their heart. That in the midst of their trial, that in the midst of their suffering, that they can turn to Your Word and that they can have reassurance and comfort in it. Lord, Father, my greatest prayer today is that there is somebody here who has never known You in the free pardon of sin. Then, Lord, before it's everlasting too late, I pray that they would come and be saved. Lord, Father, I pray likewise for the believers who might be here, Lord, who may struggle in their personal journey with You. Lord, Father, I just pray if it's rededication, confession of sin, Lord, just a time to come and renew their relationship with You, whatever it might be, whatever it might take, Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would work on them and that they would come and be responsive to the draw of Your Spirit. Lord, now as we move to this time of preaching, Father, I pray that You but use me as a mouthpiece and a tool and nothing more for Your honor and Your glory. Lord, it's all this we ask in Your holy, precious name. Amen. Here, Job, in the midst of his greatest sufferings, Job who has lost his children, Job who has lost all of his physical possessions, Job now who has suffered physically over his body, who has suffered emotionally, who has suffered spiritually, he takes a moment and he asks this question. He says, "But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding?" You know, Wednesday night we talked a little bit briefly in our study group about wisdom, and we looked at what the biblical definition of wisdom was, kind of in accordance to what Solomon said in his Proverbs, and we looked at what Noah Webster said that wisdom was all about. One of the things that we learned about wisdom is it's a combination of several different things. Wisdom is a combination of knowledge, and it's a combination of understanding, but it's also a combination of experience. Wisdom is an important thing. Amen? True wisdom is an important thing. As a matter of fact, it's so important that in the Hebrew Bible alone, in the Old Testament portion of the Hebrew Bible, the word wisdom is referred to and or mentioned 222 different times. So wisdom is important. Job knew that wisdom was important because in the midst of his suffering, he asked the question, where might I find wisdom? Where is this place of understanding? And Job is really asking this question in a rhetorical sense because Job is a man who understands probably better than anybody else where wisdom is really and truly derived from. The first thing I want you to know and understand about wisdom in the midst of our suffering is this. Is in the midst of crisis and suffering, the need for wisdom is always intensified. In the midst of our crisis, in the midst of our suffering, the need for wisdom is always intensified. Now I want to talk a little bit about wisdom and what it is and what it is not. Probably easier for me to explain to you in some senses about what wisdom is not. The first thing that I'd like you to know about what wisdom is not simply about trivia. A lot of times people think, you know, I have wisdom because I know a lot about God. I have wisdom because I've read a lot of different things in the Bible. I have wisdom because I've read a lot of good books. And you know what? You can read a lot of really good books that talk about the Bible. You can read a lot of really good books that talk about God. You can read the Bible and know a lot about God and know a lot about biblical history. You can know a lot about the people in the Bible, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you've gained any wisdom from it. Amen?
Amen.
Does anybody know anybody that is a really smart person, but they're really not very skilled in wisdom? Amen. I know a lot of people who are very book smart, but as my granddad used to say, they didn't have a lot of walking around sense. Amen. Man, I know people, I work at a university. You know, I know people who have more degrees than a thermometer. But they don't have, some of y'all get that later. But they don't have a lot of good wisdom about them. You know, they've gained a lot of knowledge, they've done a lot of research, but they don't have a lot of wisdom. Knowledge is something that is a key part of wisdom. But one of the things that we leave out is the experience aspect. You know, it's hard for us to have wisdom if we have no application of the knowledge that we've gained. Amen? And you see, serving God really is all about the application portion of it. In preparing this, I did reference and went back and read a couple of verses of Scripture from James, the brother of Jesus, where he talks about works. He says, you know, works is an important thing, but it's more than just having works. You've got to have faith with it. But at the same time, what good is it to have faith if you have no works that goes along with it? It's this delicate combination of knowledge, what you gain from the Bible, what you know from the Bible to be true, and what you learn from the Bible, but also about the practical experience. In the midst of crisis and suffering, wisdom is vitally important, and the need for it is always going to be intensified. But I'm talking about true wisdom, amen? Not just the knowledge of, I know about God. You know what? It's one thing to say, I know God. It's one thing to say that I know Christ. But it's another thing to really know Christ. Amen? To know that you know that you know. As one preacher used to put it when I was a kid growing up. To know that you know. And that's what it's really all about. To know that you know. We learn a few things about wisdom. Wisdom is this combination of knowledge and experience. But wisdom can do a lot for us. Seeking out wisdom in the midst of our suffering and crisis, it's needed. Why? Because I want you to know that wisdom is a source of true happiness. Do you ever think about that?
You know, probably before I really sat down and looked at this message, I don't know that I really thought much about that. But I can tell you this, through the study of the Word of God, I'm learning quickly that happiness can come from true wisdom in God, true knowledge and experience in Him. Solomon, in his writings in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13, he explained it this way. He says, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding." Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. If you look up the true definition of the word, if you look up the definition of blessed in the definition according to the Hebrew language, it's talking about more than just being blessed in the terms that we think about it. It's really talking about genuine happiness. Not just to be blessed, but to be happy in finding wisdom. To be happy in having understanding. You know what? In the midst of your greatest trial, in the midst of your greatest suffering, what is it that could comfort you any more than knowing what true wisdom really is and what it's really all about? I don't know. I don't know anything that could be more of a blessing than that. Wisdom is important in the midst of our crisis and our suffering because it brings happiness, because it brings God's blessings in our life. Not only that, but we learn from the Scripture that in the midst of our crisis, in the midst of our suffering, wisdom doesn't just bring happiness, but wisdom also establishes our future. Think about that. Wisdom establishes our future. Solomon, in his writings in the book of Proverbs chapter 24, verses 13 and 14, said it this way. He says, "My son, eat honey, for it is good, and the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is such to your soul. If you find it, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off." Let me tell you something, that's powerful words. He says that wisdom is like eating honey. Has anybody ever eaten any good honey? I'm not talking about the stuff you buy out of the grocery store. I'm talking about the stuff that you get from somebody who keeps their own bees. That is what honey is really supposed to taste like. Amen? Amen. That's the good stuff. And I tell you what, there's probably nothing any better than taking a biscuit that's fresh out of the oven, right? Woo! Somebody's getting really into this morning. Yeah. Taking a good homemade biscuit, a good buttermilk biscuit, out of the oven and putting honey over the top of it. Anybody ever eat that growing up? Amen. If you grew up right, you did. Amen. If you grew up right. If you grew up in the South, you did. You can think about how that tastes. Boy, it tastes good, doesn't it? Well, according to the Word of God, according to Solomon, who must have truly been a wise man, he says, now compare that to this. Knowing that wisdom is the same as that honey on that biscuit, wisdom is that to your soul. He says, if you find it, there's a future in it. He says, and your hope will not be cut off. You see, wisdom gives us a future. In the midst of pain and suffering and trial and tribulation, what better thing could you have that would instill within you some sense of there's a light at the end of this tunnel than to know that you have a hope in Jesus, to know that you have a hope in God? I can't imagine what it must have been like for Job, who's lost everything that he owned, all 8 of his children killed in one fell swoop. Now he's infested upon his body boils, and the pain and the anxiety that we learned about last week when his friends, who that he thought were his friends, came to him and basically said, "Job, you've got to confess of all of your sin and all of your unrighteousness and all of the things that you've done wrong as we see it, and then God can sanctify and rectify your life." If you could imagine what that would have been like to have been the man whom that God said that Job was, and then to endure all of those things, how do you get through that? Well, the Word of God tells us we get through it with wisdom. Why and how? Because wisdom provides us with a future. And it gives us a hope where we will not be cut off. You see, we truly do serve a God who loves us, who never leaves us and never forsakes us. We serve a God who is with us in the midst of all of our trials and all of our tribulations. We never have to ask, "God, where are you?"
God is always in the midst of our greatest sufferings, in the midst of our greatest difficulties. Wisdom provides us with happiness. It provides us with a future. And thus, in the midst of our suffering and in the midst of our crisis, the need for wisdom truly does intensify. The next thing that we see about wisdom that we learn from Job is that we learn that God is the only source of true wisdom. If you don't write down anything else, write that down. God is the only source of true wisdom. And I know that should seem like something so obvious, but I want to tell you, for something that is so obvious, we spend so much time trying to find things in life that make us happy, trying to find things in life that seem to give us some type of a future, that bring us some type of hope or some type of joy. And we seek out all of these things in life outside of God to bring us that happiness and that joy and that future. And we forget the whole time that the only real source of wisdom, thus the only source of true happiness, thus the only source of a real future, is in God alone. God alone. Take to the Word. If you want true wisdom and you want true knowledge, you got to take to the Word. I don't know any other way to tell you, and that's a disappointing thing about it, is that you got to apply yourself. Anybody struggle with weight loss? Amen. Part of the problem is we like, apparently a lot of us like biscuits and honey. Apparently that's a problem for a lot of us. I didn't realize it was such an epidemic, but apparently it's a problem. Some of y'all got a little too excited talking about that. But we talk about something like weight loss. You know, we can talk about weight loss all day long. We can talk about, we can read about diets, and we can read about exercise plans, and I struggle with that. I mean, I've been struggling a lot with it myself here recently, with my job and professionally and otherwise, and I was telling my wife the other day, I don't look as good in a uniform now as I used to. And it's all right, you can laugh about it, it's okay. You know, I don't look nearly as good in a uniform now as what I did when she first met me. You know, as I used to say, I used to be built like a triangle, you know. And over the years, I've gone from triangular to spherical, you see. Now, the thing about weight loss is you can read about it, you can study about it, you can talk about it. But it's not until you decide to put forth the application process of the diet that you talk about or the exercise program that you know that it takes, that you're going to see any real results. Now, as much as that might disappoint you, that's just the truth of the matter. You see, finding true wisdom of God is not really so different from that idea of what true wisdom really is and what it takes. And it takes turning to the Word of God. The truth and reality is that we as God's people, we don't read His Word enough. That's the truth. You know, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I'm just telling you that we as God's people don't read the Word nearly enough. You know, if I sent you home this week and I told you every time you went to the Word of God and read His Word, if you just make a note of it, just make a note of how many verses or how many chapters or how many minutes you read, if I asked you to do that for a week, how many of you would be so ashamed of yourself come Saturday night or Sunday morning that you would lie about how many verses and chapters you read or how many minutes you read because you'd be ashamed to come in here with a goose egg? A few honest people right here. Stop lying to yourselves, people. I know how it is. There'd be a few of us, we'd be so ashamed, we'd want to lie to the preacher about how often we read the Word of God this week. Because it'd be shameful when we said we didn't read it at all. You see, we want true wisdom. The only source of true wisdom comes from God. And the only source of knowledge that we can have from God comes from His holy Word. I think about the psalmist David and his writings in Psalm chapter 19, verse 7, where he said it this way. He says, "The law of the Lord," or "the Word of the Lord, is perfect." Look at this. He says, "The law," or "the Word of the Lord, is perfect. It revives the soul. It's the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple."
Look at that. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, and it makes wise the simple. God is the source of true wisdom. His Word, and taking to His Word, is how we gain that true knowledge and wisdom. It's perfect. It revives the soul. It is His testimony, and it makes wise the simple. You know, I'm a big believer that the simpler the better sometimes. Amen? The simpler the better. The world has gone about, and a lot of us have gotten really educated, gained a whole lot of trivial knowledge. But I believe that we need to start out with the simple things. The Word of God can make wise the simple. Amen? And the Word of God can confound the wise. That's what His Word says. His wise can make simple, but we also learn that the Word of God can even confound the wise. Solomon, in his writings in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 4, also shared and said this. He says, "The word of a man's mouth are deep waters." Can anybody say amen? I can't believe I didn't get more of a response from the ladies on that one. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. Let me tell you, I know some people, they cast some deep waters. Amen. Man, they like to talk. And they can talk and they can talk and they can talk. I work with a guy like that. I love him dearly. But man, he likes to talk. And he can talk some deep water. But notice what it says here. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. He says, the fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. I like that. The words of a man's mouth are his deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. If you want true wisdom, it only comes from God. You got to take to His Word. But not only that, we ought to focus on this. If we want true wisdom, we've got to focus on pleasing God only. If you want true wisdom, you want the true source of wisdom, you got to please God only. There are a lot of us, we spend a lot of time trying to make other people happy in life. There are some people who really struggle with making people happy. Like, that is a serious thing for them. They have to be a people pleaser. And they focus and they get so concerned with, are other people happy? You know, are they happy with the things that I have done? And we probably know people like that. And there are probably a few of you here that are like that. And you really have this issue of making sure that other people are happy with you and pleasing other people. But I want to tell you this. You need to shift your focus from the happiness of other people and the happiness of making other people happy with the things that you do, and focus on pleasing God more. I want to tell you, that includes, I'm talking to people that are married. You know, it's all about pleasing your husband and your wife. And when we know that the Word of God tells us how important that is. You know, husbands, to be the husband to your wife that you need to be, that God wants you to be. Wives, to be the mother of your family that God wants you to be. The wife that God wants you to be. But it's more than just about pleasing each other. Amen. You know, in your marriage, it's more than just about pleasing each other. It's about also pleasing God. Spend more time and be more focused on pleasing God, and you'll see that He's the true source of wisdom. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verse 26, it says, "For to the one who pleases Him," talking about God, "for to the one who pleases Him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But the sinner has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to the one who pleases God. This also is vanity and striving after wind." For those who please God, those who please Him, He gives them knowledge and wisdom and happiness. I don't know about you, but if you want true happiness in your life, if you want true wisdom in your life, we're going to have to make the decision to take to His Word and to please Him. Amen? Amen. Take to His Word and please Him.
the third and final thing that we learn about wisdom in the midst of our trials and in the midst of our suffering is this. Godly wisdom leads directly to godly action. Choosing godly wisdom in your life will lead you to a place where you want to serve God more. Serving God more will lead you to a place in your life where you truly are blessed. It'll lead you to a place in your life where you're happy. And know this, there is a place of happiness in serving God. Choosing wisdom in your life, it'll bring about godly action. It's impossible that it cannot happen. It's got to happen. If you choose godly wisdom, if you choose to serve Him above others and other things, it's inevitable. Godly actions are going to come through in your life. If you truly serve Him, you're going to bear the real fruits. Godly wisdom leads directly to godly action. Paul, in his writings in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he said it this way. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." He says, don't be conformed. Be renewed. Be transformed. Be something and somebody totally different. That by testing, which is what Job endured, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, being changed by God will change your life. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't choose to be like the world. Don't choose to be like everybody else. Make the conscious decision to allow God to transform your life and make you something totally different from who and what you are right now. And in the midst of suffering, in the midst of hardship, why would you want to endure all of those things to be the same old person at the end that you were when you started that journey? I don't know about you, but if I'm going to suffer, if I'm going to give up, if I'm going to really have to lay down some things, I want to be a different man than I was when I started out. I don't want to finish my journey and be the same person. I want to be transformed. I want to be renewed. Amen? That's the goal. That's the purpose. He said we be transformed and renewed, that we be totally different, even in the midst of our suffering, even in the midst of our greatest crises. I think about Paul and his writings to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Therefore, be imitators of God." Be imitators of God. We spend a lot of time trying to imitate a lot of things. We like to imitate what we see in magazines. We like to imitate what we see on social media. We like to imitate what we see on television and in popular culture. We like to imitate a lot of things. But here Paul tells us to be imitators of God as beloved children. He says, "And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Godly wisdom leads directly to godly action. Christ truly had godly wisdom. And that godly wisdom in the life of Christ led Him to make Himself an offering, to die a sinner's death, that if we believed in Him and trusted in Him, that we could be saved of our sins and that we could go free. That's what God can do in our life. Godly wisdom, truly knowing God, can completely change us. Change us from being the sinners that we are to the saved in Him. If you're here today, as our praise and our worship teams, as they come and they prepare, we move from a time of preaching now to a time of response. If you're here today and you have never known Christ Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior,
right now, right here, in this moment, in this time, this is your opportunity to come and to give your heart and your life to Christ. You want true wisdom in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your hardship? It comes from the Lord. If you want that wisdom, it comes from Him. But in order to gain it, in order to have it, you've got to make the decision to invite Christ into your heart and your life. It's impossible to gain the true wisdom of God without first knowing His Son. This is an opportunity for you to come. I'd love to share with you how that you might be saved. The Word of God tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Word of God tells us that the wages of sin is death. The Word of God furthermore tells us that He is faithful and just and willing to forgive those who cry out unto His name. If you're here and you're lost and you know that you need to be saved, you can come this morning and you can give your heart and your life to Him and He'll save you. You come. Maybe you're here this morning and you're enduring suffering. Maybe you're at a season in your life where you desperately need God's touch and God's wisdom. Every week for the last several weeks, people have come to this altar and felt His call to come and pray for different reasons. Maybe you're suffering and you need to come. Maybe you know somebody who's suffering. You need to come and pray for them. Maybe you know that suffering is going to come one day. You just want to pray that God prepare you for it. However God is leading you this morning, would you not come and respond and be obedient? I'm here. If you've got somebody you want to bring with you, they'll come and pray with you. Bring somebody. Come to this altar. True wisdom starts with Him. What better place to gain true wisdom than right here at the foot of the cross and at the altar of God? You come this morning. Lord, as we close out this time of preaching, Lord, we come to a time of response. Lord, I pray earnestly if there's somebody here who has never known You. Lord, if there's somebody here today that's lost, my earnest prayer for them is that they would not be able to leave this building today without giving their heart and their life to You. Lord, I pray that they'll surrender everything. And that they'll come and they'll cry out for freedom. That they'll come and cry out for true wisdom. Lord, I pray today for those who are suffering. Lord, there are many people amongst our congregation, our friends, and our loved ones who are enduring things that I know that nobody else knows about. Maybe just You. Lord, I uplift them and I pray for them. But Lord, I pray also that if You'd lead them, that You'd lead them to this altar to seek true wisdom and true guidance from You and from You alone. Lord, maybe we know others who are suffering. Lord, I pray that we'll come and we'll uplift them. Pray for them. Lord, maybe we're just at a point and a position within our life where we need a renewal. Rather than being conformed to this world, that we'd be renewed and transformed. That rather than imitating somebody else, we'd imitate You. Lord, it's all this we ask in Your holy, precious name. Amen.